Seven young men to come up and sit with my grandson right here. So you young men, anybody under 18 years old, come on up and sit with my grandson. I need seven young ladies to sit right behind them on the next row. If you're under 18, seven young ladies, come right up front, please, and sit. I need your help, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm going to give a lesson. You can come while I'm talking. I'm going to give a lesson that's going to be so plain that these young people can understand it. If these young people can understand it, I know you old folks out there can understand it. Amen? Amen? And I want them up close so that I can ask them some questions to make sure they understand it. Okay? Now, I only got 30 minutes until this thing gets so good and Brother Snow don't want to stop me. So I'm going to start it off like I'm starting it off right now. I got seven of each down here. Come on over, right over here. I want you to sit in this, the ladies behind the men. Yeah. Yeah. I only got four men. You guys don't have seven young men in this congregation? You with the glasses on. Come on up here, man. Yeah. Yeah, come on up here. Sit with my grandson. Huh? He's 25? He looks young enough. Come on, come on. Come on. Ain't no more young men out there. No more young men. Who's up in the balcony? Some young men. Hey, come on down, young men. I need seven. How many we got? One, two, three, four, five. We got five? Five. I need two more from the balcony. Two young men. If you can read, come on down. Okay, so I got seven ladies already, right? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, okay. We can start the thing. How do I get them started? Start it, please. Yeah, introduction. Okay, next one. Yeah, let me get down here, man. Next one. Oh, I say next one. That's what I'll do. Yeah. Loved ones, I want y'all to listen closely to this lesson because you're getting ready to learn some things that you're going to have to teach to somebody else one day. I'm going to be asking you questions about this stuff to make sure you understand so that you'll be able to teach it. The first thing I want you to know is that Jesus has all authority. Amen. You don't have the authority. Your mother and your father don't have the authority. The preacher, Brother Snow, don't have the authority. I don't have the authority. The elders of this congregation don't have the authority. Jesus has all authority. Next. Whatever you do religiously, you must do it by the authority of Jesus. You can't follow what some man says or some woman says. If you're going to do anything religiously, you better find it in the book. Next. The book is the spirit sword. Where's my Bible? This little book right here is a sword of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit uses to cut things up, to put things back together. This sword is defensive and it's offensive. It can be used, cuts both ways, like a two-edged sword. This is the Spirit's. It ain't Sam Matthews' word. It ain't the white man's word. It ain't the black man's word. It ain't the Puerto Rican man's word. This is God's word. Next. His word is truth. When I was a young man like y'all, I used to sit in television and I looked at Perry Mason. And every time they came up on the stand, they said, "Do you swear by the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" It's still the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Your textbooks in school are not the truth. They got a whole bunch of lies in them. Your history books, lots of lies in them. But you got some truth here. Nothing but the truth. Are y'all with me? Next. Well, I like this, old folks. Because, see, we've been set free by the truth. That's why we owe and serving God right now. Because the truth done set us free. Now we got to get it to set some more people free. That's our job. Next. Sadly, Lord have mercy, some gonna reject the truth. They've been doing it since they put Jesus, the truth, on the cross. And they gonna keep on doing it to their detriment. That's all right. Next, what are we to do? We're to keep on teaching the truth in love. Even to those who reject it. Keep on loving them. Keep on serving them. Keep on letting Jesus walk through you. Oh, a whole bunch of people are going to reject it. Some of y'all are going to reject it today. You're getting ready to hear the truth today. You're going to hear it so plain that these young people are going to understand it. You got your water ready? You ain't going to have enough clothes. Next, we're going to talk about God's sevenfold unity this morning. Next, unity is defined as a totality of related parts leading to a condition of harmony. You see, you got all these parts, but you put them together, and you got some harmony. That's unity. Next. Bible says Jesus prayed for unity. He says, neither pray I for these alone, not just for these apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He said, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and thou in thee, that they may all be one in us. Why, Jesus? So that the world will believe that you sent me. That's why people don't believe in Jesus. That's why many young people in your schools don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus because we're divided religiously. Amen. There's no unity. There's no harmony in religion. So people say, what kind of God are we going to serve that can't even get his people to be united? What kind of God is that? I don't want no pots of no God like that. So they don't believe. They see all this disunity. Next. Peter, the apostle, he pled for unity. What did he say? Finally, be ye all what? How many minds? No, not 15,000 different minds, but we got to be one mind. What does it say? Having compassion one for another, loving as brethren. Next, the faithful, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. What? Of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, with all meekness, with all long-suffering. Oh, you need to get onto those words. With all forbearing one another in love. Just remember, everything ends with love. Love is the greatest of all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Endeavoring to keep the what? The unity. That's what we're going to talk about today. God's sevenfold unity. We got to endeavor to keep the unity of the faith in the bond of peace. We got to be peaceful. We got to be gentle with people. But we got to be bold. Yeah. We got to be like Jesus. Next. The Bible gives the plan of unity. All we saw was perpetuated by Peter. We see Jesus praying for it. But now God's word gives us the plan for unity. The Bible says there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's cool, but I want to stay there because I got a question for these young people. Let me get one of these dudes first. I ain't going to pick on you yet, but when you become a member here, then you're going to be in trouble. Come on, brother. Fell on up there. Now, I ain't going to introduce all y'all. They know y'all already, but y'all get to know. Now, look, there's a word up there that's used seven times. What is that word? Oh, sit down. Smart dude. You can see it. He can see it. There's seven ones up there. Let's talk about them. The Bible says there's one body. Come on to the next one. One body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one God, one Lord. Next. One baptism. Well, all of us in this building right now will agree that the one Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's the one who indwells the hearts of God's people. Ephesians 3, tells us that. We all agree on that. Anyone disagree with that? The one Spirit is the Holy Spirit? Next. Those who do not have this one Spirit, the Bible says they don't belong to God. Now, wait a minute. God only has one Spirit, and if you don't have this one Spirit, you don't belong to God. You might think you belong to God, but we're going to get that thing plain. Next. All in this building will confess that there's only one hope, the hope, that lively hope of our eternal inheritance in heaven. Through who? Through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Look, loved ones, that's the hope, everybody. We all want to go to heaven, amen? That's the hope. We're only going to get there through Jesus, amen? Everybody got that hope. Next. Jesus is that one Lord. Jesus, next. There you go. Everybody who's here knows that there's only one God. God the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And Jesus, by whom are all things, and we by him. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. We all agree on those four ones, amen? Amen. Y'all young people agree on those four ones? Anybody disagree on any of those four ones? Let me ask you a question then. Young lady, how many faiths are there? Huh? You got to speak up. One. You got Black Queen. Come on now. I had a funeral, my brother's funeral yesterday. I had 30 minutes, I don't know what to do. I had a funeral with my brother yesterday, and we sang a cappella singing. And so I had Brother Davey Thomas from the other congregation leading the singing. And he got up there and he jumped into that song. And when nobody's out there singing, about 50 people, nobody's singing. Because see, all my relatives are in the denominations we're going to talk about. And so they thought he was singing a solo. So after that first song, I stood up and said, no, this is a cappella singing. So everybody sing out. So all y'all black and white people out there, y'all can sing. And we got a little bit more next time. So all I'm saying to you, young lady, is speak up. Let your voice be heard. Sing and make melody in your... So, one faith. Everybody know this. Four ones. Next. The disagreement that we have in the religious realm when it comes to the other three ones, the one faith, the one body, and the one baptism. So in this lesson, we will show you. We're not just going to endeavor to show you. I don't know why I put that word in. We're going to show you. We're going to make plain the Holy Spirit's teaching on these three ones so that we can all leave this building today in agreement. Amen? Amen. Amen. Next. God has how many faiths, young people? Say it out loud.
One.
One faith. Now, I was raised in Detroit, Michigan, born in 1949 on the ghettos of Detroit over there. And I went to the Catholic Church, had the Catholic faith for a while. Next, then my wife that I married for 40 years, who died in 2010, she was in the Lutheran faith when I met her. Next, and the Presbyterian faith. Next. Oh, sorry. You got some big feet, bro. Okay. All those faiths. How many is that? Somebody count them quickly. How many? Young people? Seven. Now, if I want to become a Catholic, now y'all young people, y'all got to be ready now. If I want to become a Catholic young lady, if I want the Catholic faith, where would I have to go?
The church.
What church?
Catholic church.
The Catholic church, she said. If I wanted the Methodist faith, where would I have to go?
Methodist church.
The Methodist church. Now, next question. Can I get the Methodist faith by going to the Catholic Church?
No.
I can't. Why not?
Because it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Right now.
They don't teach the same thing, do they? They teach different things. They all work the same way. You can't become a Baptist by going to the Jehovah's Witness Church, can you? They teach something different. Now, that's seven faiths. I could have named 107 or 307. But how many does God have, young man on the end? Stand up.
What?
Woo! Sit down. All right. Y'all some smart young people. Next. Since we know how to get any one of these man-made faiths, just go to their church, hear what they say, believe what they say, do what they say, and we got their faith. Amen? Now, I think a good question we ought to ask is, how does one get God's one faith? Isn't that a good question? Yeah. We know how to get any of those other ones. Well, how can we get this one? You know, the Bible's got the answer to that. Anybody know the scripture in this, you young people? What does the Bible say? Y'all gonna know after today. Romans 10, 17, next. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. You want the one faith, all you got to hear is the word of God. You ain't got to hear what the Catholics say. You hear what they say, you're gonna get their faith. You ain't got to hear what the Baptists say. You hear what they say, you're going to get their faith. But if you want God's one faith, you just hear his word. Amen. Obey his word. And you're going to have that one faith. Amen? Amen? Next. What faith do you want? Oh, that's a good question, ain't it? Now, I got a really personal question over here now for you young people. Is anybody here not yet a member of the body of Christ? Anybody not yet been baptized into Christ? Come on, young man. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to tell all these, turn around here. Now, you see that question up there? What did it say?
It says, what faith do you want?
So you answer that question. You want one of the other faiths, or you want which faith?
God's faith.
Which one? That's the one. How many faiths is that he's got?
One faith.
You want that faith?
Yes.
I'm going to show you how to get it.
By believing in God.
I'm going to show you how to get it, that's it. You just relax. You ready to teach already. What faith do you want? I'm asking you all out here, what faith do you want? Do you want God's one faith? Or do you want one of these other man-made faiths that comes by hearing some man-made words? Next. Well, this is another good question. This is probably the best question y'all going to hear tonight. You get some seatbelts in this congregation? Y'all put your seatbelts on now. Why are there so many different faiths? Next. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in a lot of times some shall depart from the faith. What? The faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, demons. There's only one devil. So that King James Version sort of screwed up there, but doctrines of demons. These doctrines of devils going to be speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They're going to be forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat. Oh, you can't eat this if you want to be a Seventh-day Adventist. You can't eat this if you want to be a Muslim. Commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. If you believe and know the truth, you can eat anything you want to eat. I was a Navy diver when I was in the United States Navy. Besides on submarines, I was a diver for the submarines. And sometimes when I was going through that training, you know, y'all ever saw a chocolate-covered roach? You ever digested something like that? How about some worms, you know? Look here. The rest of that verse says, with God hath given, received thanks of them which believe know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it's been received with thanksgiving, for it's been sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So you pray about your food, and you can eat anything you want to eat. God sets it apart, huh? Long as your stomach can take it, Brother Snow said. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But you know, what goes in the stomach comes out the draw. Now, next. But let me give you some examples of the doctrines of the devils. This is one good example of a doctrine of the devil. Jesus said, for one is your master, even Christ, and all of ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. And be not be called master, so one is your master, Jesus Christ. What do they call the Catholic priest, young lady? Pope, that's cool. What's another name for the Catholic priest, young lady? Father. Ah, what'd you say? Father. The Bible says what? Don't call your man what? So if they call him father, whose doctrine are they teaching? Woo! What did y'all say? The devils? Not just the Catholics, but who's? The devils. Say it. Y'all got to come on. I need some choir. Whose doctrine are they teaching?
The devil.
How do you know that? Because the Bible tells you so. B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Yeah. Okay? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Don't be calling these preachers father. God's the only father. If you got some Catholic or Anglican or some other friends that call their preacher father, you need to talk to them. You need to show them they're following the devil's doctrine. Next. He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is whose name? God's name. That's what that passage is talking about. But, you know, I came up in the New Testament Baptist Church over there on Verner and McClellan, and we had Reverend Kaufman. Did you know Reverend Kaufman? Yeah, his son became Reverend Kaufman II, you know. Reverend! God is the only reverend. Don't be calling no preacher reverend. We're evangelists. We're preachers. We're ministers. We're brothers. We're servants. Don't be putting no reverend on me. God's the only reverend. Y'all understand that? Yeah. Next. God has only, we talked about the one faith. We could talk about the one faith, but you know, I ain't got 30 minutes. So let's get into one body. The Bible says, and God had put all things under whose feet? Christ's feet. And gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is whose body, young man? Who is this his? The Lord. What's his name? Jesus. The church is Jesus' body. It ain't the Pope's body. It ain't Brother Snow's body. It ain't Sam Matthew's body. It ain't you elders' body. It ain't you women's body. It's Christ's body. Amen? Let's see, who haven't I called on? Girl, you just as pretty as you want to be. But I'm married, so don't worry about it. So look, how many bodies are there? There's only one body, and the body belongs to Christ. Well, let's find out a little bit more about this body, because it says he is the head over all things to the what? The church, which is his what? Body. How many bodies are there? One. So how many churches are there? One. Y'all better remember that. I'm going to test you on that one. How many churches are there? One, because Jesus only has one body, and the body is the church. Next. Jesus said to old Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my churches, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Huh? Didn't he say that? And I said, thou art Peter, I will build my churches. And what do you get out of that? Church. Don't say churches? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against them, right? Them, you should say, yeah, them. Is that what it says? It. If you say it, how many can you get out of it? One! So hell can't mess with it. His church, hell's already got theirs. Hell started theirs. God only got one. My time is up, brother, so I got to stop.
You better conclude.
You want me to conclude?
No, okay. No,
finish it. Oh, y'all in trouble now. Lord, <I'm> next. I had to get his permission. Now, the sweetest psalmist said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Jesus only built one church, his church. Next. Come on now. I told him I need my click. I want to go. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. The Bible says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The first verse said, if the Lord didn't build the house, they're laboring in vain. This passage says that if they're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, they're laboring in vain. Therefore, any house built by a man is in vain. The Baptist church was built by a man. I gave you some dates and all that stuff up there a moment ago. Check it out on your Google, you know. They worshiping in vain. What is vain? Okay, let's see, young people. What does it mean to do something in vain? Young lady with all the pretty hair, come on. What does it mean to do something in vain?
Not in truth.
It's not in truth. Give me another definition, young man. It's the wrong thing. I need another definition. Come on, young man. You're a pretty dude. Y'all girls better keep your eyes on him. He ain't gonna lie. You married? You're not married yet. He's still single. He looks like a preacher man already. Song leader too. Oh, give me some. Yeah. Y'all don't want to let him get away. Okay, now what was my question? Yeah, what does that mean? It's what? It's disrespect. Okay, this is good. I'm looking for the word useless. It's useless. Yeah, it's for naught. You're wasting your time. We got relatives and loved ones in all these churches thinking they're worshiping God according to what John Calvin said, according to what the Pope says, according to what Mary Baker Eddy says, that they're worshiping in vain. And if you love them, you're going to try to bring them out of that. Amen. This young man right here is my grandson. I'm staying at his house with his mom, my wife's daughter. He was out under his car, putting in an alternator. Come on, get out of that car. Come on with me right now. He's all dirty and nasty and all that. But I love him so much, I want him to hear this stuff. You need to love your folks so much that you want them to hear Brother Snow and these other preachers. But you need to, these seats should be overflowing. Because y'all, he ain't got time to bring everybody. He's got to preach. See, I'm an evangelist. I can go around and do whatever I want to do for the Lord. He's here. See, he still goes. I know y'all sent him out, and that's all right. But y'all need to do the work and let him teach them. Next time I come here, I don't want to see no empty seats in this place. Where am I at? Next. Uh-oh. Now, Jesus has something to say about all this. There's only two ways to go in life. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Many people going down this broad road is going to hell, destruction. But he says, of us who know, enter ye in at the straight gate. Ah, the narrow gate, which leads to life, and few there be that find it. So my question for you young people is, how many gates are there? One or two? You say one. How many? Two. Which one of the two? What's the first one? It goes where? To destruction. Where does the second one go? The L-I. Ooh, you got it, girl. To life. Well, those who want to go to life, they got to do what? Well, that's a hard question. Come on, young man. If you want life, you got to do what? That's cool. What does the Bible say? You got to do what, young man in the corner? You ain't with that yet. Young lady, what do you see? What do you see? What do you got to do? No, yes, cool. You got what? I told you, you got a good dude here. He said you got to find it. Is that what it says? It says, the narrow is the way which leads to life, but only a few there be that find it. You finding it today, young people, old people. You finding the way to life. Before you leave here today, you're going to know what life is all about. Next. Jesus has some more to say about that thing. Lord, this is, he said, not everyone, now y'all listen now. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that, oh, look at it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils. In thy name done many, many wonderful works. But then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Woo. Ye that work iniquity. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. I know Jesus is a pretty bold dude, but I got some questions for Jesus myself. Here's some people out here. They doing everything they can, and verse 22 says, they doing it in his name. They casting out devils. They, in our vernacular, they're building hospitals. They're feeding the poor. They're going into the prison. They're clothing the orphans, and they're doing it all in the name of Jesus. Sincere, honest people all over the world. Yet, in verse 23, Jesus is going to profess unto them, I never knew you. Wait a minute, Jesus. How can you tell these sincere, honest, loving people, depart from me, I never knew you? Is that a good question for the Lord? I think we're going to see what he says to the answer to that. Next. A good and honest man we got there, right? And this good and honest man is out of a job. And so Mr. A has a field and Mr. B has a field. And so this good, honest man goes over to Mr. A. Mr. A, let me work in your field. And he says, okay, you look like a good man. Go on out in my field and work. But he goes over to Mr. B's field because it's just dirt and no fence up there. So he works all day in Mr. B's field. He plants the cotton. He plants the corn. He waters it and fertilizes it. And God blesses him. It starts coming up the same day. He comes back to Mr. A. Mr. A, I work for you all day. I'm ready for my pay. Mr. A looks out his window and the ground is just as hard as it was when he sent him out there. And he looks over to Mr. B's field and it's all mellow and cool and growing wheat and stuff. He says, son, I can't pay you nothing. You didn't do no work for me. You better go talk to Mr. B. Mr. B, I work for you all day. Look out. And he looks out his field. Woo, boy, you did a good job. Got a big old smile on his face. But I didn't hire you. I can't pay you nothing. Y'all get ready, young people. I got a question for you now. So what do you got? You got a good man, an honest man, a sincere man who's worked all day, but he doesn't get any pay. Question. It's a hard question. Come on, young lady. Why doesn't he get any pay? Oh, Lord, you smart. That woman said, because he didn't work in the right field. In other words, he was working in the wrong field. Next, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You were working in the wrong field. You were doing your good works in the Baptist field, in the Catholic field, in the Lutheran field, in the Muslim field, in the Seventh-day Adventist field. I never knew you. Depart from me. Y'all understand. Next, Jesus goes on to say, whosoever hears his words and obeys them is the wise person. He's built his house on a rock. But everyone that hears his words and does not obey them is a foolish man. He's building his house on the sand. Next, God has only one baptism as I try to bring this thing to a close. Jesus came and spake unto them. He said, Jesus has all power. I got all authority. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. He tells us, his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Once you taught them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then you don't stop there. You then teach them the rest of the things. Teach them all things, not just part of the things. Teach them all things that I have commanded you. And lo, he's with us all the way to the end of the age. He's with us. Amen. As long as we're teaching all the things that he says. Next. Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Come on, I got a question for you. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Young people, why are you baptized? Come on, my young brother. To have your sins removed. You got any sins? So what do you need to do to get them things removed?
Get baptized. Woo!
Chance. I'm gonna give you and this dude a chance. Jesus said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for what? The remission of sin. So when you go down under the water don't wash your sins away. It's the blood of Jesus that washes your sins away. But when does the blood of Jesus wash your sins away, young man? When you're baptized. You got to teach your friends that. This is the doctrine that the devil is using right now to keep people lost. baptism. They're being taught that all you got to do is accept. Y'all watch. Some of y'all listen to old Joel Osteen dude, right? And y'all know how he sounds and ends all his things. Ooh, just put your hand on the screen. Oh, he might not say that. But he's just saying, say this prayer and you're saved. He's just one of the ministers of Satan that's doing that. What's this other dude? T.D. Jakes, Crepo Dollar, Billy Graham. They all doing it. You ain't got to be baptized to be saved, they say. But that Bible right there says the blood of Jesus washes your sins away. And that young man told us when. When you're baptized. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Next. The one baptism is immersion in water to be born again. You know, I'm 70 years old, just about. And let me tell you, I've been born again. 1977, I was born again. I didn't go back in my mother's womb. I just went down in the water. When I came back out of the water, I was a new person. I was a Black Panther in Detroit. Lord have mercy. Yeah, I ain't got time for all that. I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. What's the kingdom? The kingdom is the church of Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you, your apostles, Peter, the keys to the kingdom. So the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, is only one kingdom. The kingdom is the church. There's only one church. The church is the body. There's only one body. It's Jesus' body. He's the head of the body. We're the members in the body. And so we walk the way the head tells us to walk. Amen? Amen. We don't walk our own way. We die to ourselves, and now we're walking the way Jesus wants us to walk. Next. Oh, wait, go back. Go back. I didn't see that one. You went too fast on me. Come on. Yeah. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So, he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, here's the question of the hour. Let's see. Come on, soft-spoken lady. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So, when is a person saved?
When they're baptized. Now, what does the Bible say? No, come on up the first part of that thing. He that
believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Stop. Now, when is a person saved? When he what? Come on, one more time, baby.
When they're baptized.
Oh, Lord help her.
When they believe it.
When they, look at it again.
When they believe.
Believe and are
baptized. You got to understand that. You know, when I was your age and probably younger, we had conjunction, what's your function? And we learned that and was a conjunction. And tied two things together, you know, both with equal parts. Right? And so the Bible says if you want to be saved, you got to believe and be baptized. You can't just do one. You can't just get baptized. See? You understand? Okay. You got to believe and BBS. BBS. Believe and be baptized. Then you're saved. This is what your friends are being taught. Believe. Accept Jesus in your heart. Say some sinner's prayer. Then you're saved. Then you need to go get baptized to show you saved. That's what the devil is teaching all over the world. Or he's teaching a different Jesus like the Mormons. They teach you got to be baptized, but they got a whole different Jesus than we do, than the Bible does. But look, I went up to, we can understand that there's a difference there. BBS is different than BSB. Some people can't understand it. They just can't understand it. So I say, well, look at here. You loan me $71. And when I pay you back, I'm going to give you $17. They can understand that, can't they, brother? Yeah. Next. Peter said, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of Noah waited in the days of Noah, while that is 8 souls were saved by what? Water. How many souls were saved by water? Come on, young lady. 8 souls in the whole world during the days of flood. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. 8 souls. All of us came from Noah. You white folks, you black folks, you Indian folks. We all came from Noah. They went up to that Tower of Babel. I ain't got time for all this. So let me get on back to this. Which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, whereas the ark was preparing where few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now, the like figure, just like that, just like Noah and his family were saved by water. You know why they were saved by water? I won't take time for you to answer. They were saved by water because the water held the ark up. They were in the ark. And the water held, it destroyed everything, you know, under it, but they were saved by water, but they were saved in the ark, in the church. Woo, okay. But it's still by water, because the like figure also now, baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. Our conscience is clean when you're baptized after you've repented. Now, if you ain't repentant, you just got wet. You need to do it again. If you were baptized and you hadn't really repented, if you hadn't really been taught the right way, you need to do it again because you just got wet. But when are we baptized? Now, here's the question. When are we saved? When are we saved? Come on, young one. Yeah, when are we saved, according to that verse? When you, does it say after? Uh-oh, this is a good point. Does it say after you baptize, you save? When you baptize, you save. You're not saved before you baptize. You're not saved after you baptize. You save when? Now. You see that word now, N-O-W? Baptism saves you now. So see, y'all can be saved tonight. Today is still day. Might be night when I'm through. But y'all can be saved. You know, the little boy, Brother Snow, was sitting out in the audience, and he says, Daddy, what does a preacher mean when he says this? And he said, that means for everybody to get up. He said, what does it mean when he says this? And he said, that means for everybody to sit down. He said, well, Daddy, what does it mean when he does this? The daddy said, nothing. So, baptism saves us next. Then they gladly, you see, I got that word gladly underlined. The only people that's going to come to the Lord are those who gladly receive his word. If you gladly are receiving this, young people, then you're ready to come to the Lord. If you like what you're learning and seeing and understanding, gladly. And it says what? Those who gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, about 3,000 souls were added. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the what? The church. What church did he add them to, young man? The one church, he says. And the one church is called what, young lady? The Church of Christ. The Church of God. That's all right. Yeah, the pillar and ground of the truth. These are all titles for the one church. We use the churches of Christ because Romans 16:16 says, the churches of Christ salute you. That means there's a church of Christ in, where are we at? Redford. Where are we at? Detroit. There's a church of Christ in St. Thomas. The churches of Christ salute you. All over the world, there's different congregations of the Lord's church. We're all one body. We're all members of the same family. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. God only has one family, parts in heaven and parts right here on the earth. We're a part on the earth right now, but when Jesus comes, he's going to just move us on over to the heavenly kingdom. Yeah. Just going to change places. The kingdom is eternal. It's going to go on forever. And ooh, heaven going to be so nice. Oh, I wish I had time to tell y'all about heaven. Lord have mercy. Oh, and the Lord added to the church. You can't join the Church of Christ. The Lord adds you to the church. Now, you can join the Baptist church. I was 13 years old, and I joined the Baptist church. Y'all don't know how I got to join the Baptist church? I was sitting on the morning bench in southern Mississippi, and the Baptist preacher was preaching. And the choir was singing, and they were getting down. And all of a sudden, I saw my girlfriend sitting with some of my boyfriends, and I'm up here on the morning bench.
No!
And I was saved, they said. I got the Holy Spirit. I got off that bench. I was back there with that girl real quick. Let me tell you. Well, the Bible says, that's how I became a member of that church. I'm just telling you. You know, some of y'all was sprinkled as a little baby. Huh? You were christened. And now you're a member of that church. You're saved by that christening. No. False teaching. The Lord adds you to his church. It's the only way to get in. You can be added today. You know, in a minute we're going to sing a song. When we sing that song, y'all normally stand, right? But we're going to do a different. I'm one of them different dudes. I don't normally follow nobody. So, y'all sit and sing this invitation song. But anybody that wants to become a Christian, you stand, okay? Anybody out here who says, I understand, and I'm ready to be baptized, to have my sins washed away, you just stand up while the rest of us are sitting down. We all going to be singing. We just want to know who you are. Or if you just got a prayer request also. So let me finish this lesson. Next. There are only two types of blessings, physical and spiritual. I got a suit on my, somebody told me this morning, you got a sharp suit on my grandson. You know, it's a physical blessing, yeah. And you know, I got a little bit of hair, a physical blessing. I got a body. We got this microphone and my Bible. Physical things. Everybody is blessed with physical things. Water to drink, food to eat, air to breathe. But all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Only a person who's in Christ has spiritual blessings. Can I be any plainer than that? If you're not, so let me make it plain. If you're not in Christ, what don't you have? You don't have spiritual blessings. Now let's find out what some spiritual blessings are. Next, forgiveness of sins, redemption. That's a spiritual blessing, but it's only for those who are in Christ. So when you get into Christ, all your sins are forgiven. You've been redeemed. Next, salvation is a spiritual blessing for those who are in Christ. Jesus, you got to get in Christ if you want to be saved. Amen? Everybody knows that. That's a spiritual blessing. If you're not in Christ, you're not saved. You don't have that spiritual blessing. You got physical blessings, yeah, but you don't have that spiritual. Next, eternal life is a spiritual blessing for those who are in Christ. 1 John chapter 5 and the verses, eternal life. That's what our hope is. But you can only find it in who, young people? In who? In, young people? Christ, you can, oh, y'all got to listen to me. See, I talk sort of fine sometimes. Y'all can't be day drifting here. Okay. Eternal life is only in Christ. You want eternal life? You got to be in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, do you have eternal life? Does the Bible teach that? Y'all getting ready to get another brother in Christ. This dude is a Navy dude, just like me. He didn't make it 20 years, but he was one of those spooks. We call them spooks, them crypto dudes, you know, that trying to break people's codes and all that kind of stuff. But now he works for AutoZone. Next. Becoming a new creature is a spiritual blessing for those who are in Christ. Oh, we become new. So good to be new. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. Saved my marriage to my first wife. I was a Navy dude. Thought I was good looking. Y'all girls would have been in trouble. But anyway, I was chasing the women, but I was married. But I became a Christian, and I became new. I stopped chasing the women except to teach them the word of God. Amen. Yeah, you can become new. I don't care what your addiction is. I don't care what your problem is. You can become new, but only in Christ. You ain't out of Christ, you ain't gonna never become new. You're gonna keep on with the same addictions, with the same problems, with the same heartaches, with the same misunderstandings. But when you get into Christ, you're gonna be new. Next, the one baptism is the only way to get into Christ. Ooh, now you see where that baptism comes in? The Bible says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have on. Lord, have mercy. When you're baptized, you know, like I got this little jacket here, right? When I got ready to get out of the house, I had to put this bad boy on to give me some protection from the winds here in Detroit. I got the merits of this jacket. So when I'm baptized, when you're baptized, now you get the merits of Jesus' blood. You clothe yourself with Jesus. You clothe yourself with the blood of Jesus when you're under that water. He died on the cross, and the soldier came and stuck a spear in his side, and blood and water came out. John chapter 19, verse 31 through 34. And so he shed his blood in his death. He was already dead when he shed that blood. He shed a lot of blood, you know, going up to Calvary with the stuff, the thorns on his head. But that he was still alive then. But when he was on that cross, he died. And I guess that Roman soldier said, yeah, I got to make sure this dude has died. So, boop, stuck a spear in his side. And he shed his blood in his death. And God says, you got to get in some water. You know, blood and water, the Bible says, came out of that. He's already shown us. We got to get in some water to get that blood. Now, we're baptized into his death. Come on, give me another scripture. Come on, one more. No, you're not. There's so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're baptized into Jesus Christ, just like Galatians 3 and 27 is going to tell us, but we're also baptized into his death. When he died, he shed his blood. While we're under that water, his blood cleanses us from all of our sins. Then, just like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we walk in newness of life. We come up out of that water, just like Jesus was raised. We come up from the death of his death to walk in a new life. Amen? We're Christians now. I'm not a Baptist. My wife's not a Lutheran anymore. We're just Christians. We're members of the church you can read about in your Bible. I'll give you $100. If you can show me the Baptist church in the Bible, or the Catholic church, or the Seventh-day Adventist church. I'm talking about those names that they call themselves. They ain't in the Bible. So if they're not in the Bible, and they say they teach in the Bible, why ain't their name at least in there? Y'all ever thought about it like that? They ain't none of their names in the Bible. Catholic ain't in the Bible. I know Catholic means universal and all that kind of stuff. But that's all right. They ain't in the Bible. Next. Now, I already covered all that. Next. You can be added to his church today. Listen to this now. The idea is not that we, the churches of Christ, are right and all these denominations are wrong. That ain't what it's all about. But the Bible is right. Say that, young people. The Bible is right. And anyone out of harmony with the Bible is wrong. The Bible has never been wrong. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it's going to be that when you die. It was here before you came. The Bible is right, even if not one person in the whole world believes it or lives up to its teachings. I don't care if you don't do what it says. I do care. But I'm telling you, it's going to still be right. Amen. Whether you do what it says or not. Next. Every person, every religion, every church that differs from the Bible is wrong. Simple, plain teaching. Next. Our plea has never been everybody join us, but has always been let us all unite upon the teachings of the Word of God. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, I'm doing Romans 12. You know what 1 Corinthians 1:10 says? It says, come on, preachers, come on, quote it for me, brother. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10.
Therefore, that all might be one, that there be no divisions among us, but that we all be joined in the same mind and the same spirit. Okay.
God wants us to be one. He don't want no division. God don't want no division. So I please that we all be one. All the Baptists, let's just become Christians. That's what I had to do. All the Lutherans, let's just become Christians. That's what my wife had to do. And that's what you're going to have to do if you want to go to heaven. And I'm telling you this with all the love in my heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. You ought to be thankful that God sent his angel to tell you these things. Next. So look, let me give an invitation. Now, thank you, young people. You've been a fabulous help. I hope you picked up a little bit more to ground you a little bit deeper in the faith. And you teach these things to others as God gives you the opportunity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Thank you for your time. Thank you for indulging me. I know I went over your normal time. But you know, Christians, we watch a lot of television. You know, I don't hear nobody saying you've been too much time in the TV. But when it comes to God's word, we get all crazy about 20 minutes or 40 minutes. We need to repent of that thing and love the Lord. Let me tell you something about the Lord, and I'm going to close, brother. I thought I was done, but let me say something. I just want to tell you, you know, you got to preach Jesus, so let me just tell you a little bit about Jesus, and then I'm done, okay? I got so much I can tell y'all. But Jesus, you know, there's some people who draw, the artists. Jesus to the artist is the altogether lovely one. Song of Solomon. Chapter 5, verse 16. The altogether lovely one to the artist. Jesus to the architect. He's the chief cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Jesus to the astronomer. He's the bright and morning star. Ooh, Revelation 22 and the verses 16. Jesus to the baker. He's the living bread, young people. John chapter 6 and the verses 51. Jesus to the banker is the hidden treasure. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Jesus to the biologist, he is life. John chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus, young lady and church, to the bride, he's the bridegroom. Matthew chapter 9 and the verses 15. Jesus to the builder, he's the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verses 11. Jesus to the capitalist, he's the unsearchable riches. Ephesians chapter 3 and the verses 8. Jesus to the defendant, oh, he's the advocate, the judge, the lawyer, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 2 and the verses 2. Jesus to the doctor, he's the healer, amen? Mark chapter 3 and the verses 10. Jesus to the drifter, he's the anchor. He's the anchor of our soul. Hebrews chapter 6 and the verses 19. Jesus to the educator, he's the teacher. Oh, my teacher. Luke chapter 20 and the verses 21. Jesus to the engineer, he's the new and the living way. Hebrews chapter 10 and the verses 20. Jesus to the farmer. Oh, he's the sower of the seed and he's the Lord of the harvest. Luke chapter 8 and the verses 5. Jesus to the florist. Ooh, I love flowers. He's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. A Song of Solomon. All you ought to read that book, chapter 2 and the verses 1. Jesus to the friendless. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Am I right about it, Brother Snow? Proverbs chapter 18 and the verses 24. Jesus to the geologist is the rock of the rock. Romans chapter 3 and the verses 25. Jesus, loved ones, to the horticulturist, he's the garden. Luke chapter 13 and the verses 19. Jesus to the guilty, he's the propitiation. John tells us that, loved ones. Jesus to the jeweler, he's the pearl of a great price. Matthew chapter 11 and the verses 46. Jesus to the judge, he's the righteous judge. Acts chapter 17 and the verses 31. Jesus to the mother, oh, he's the son. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. Jesus to the outcast,
outcasts. He's the friend of sinners. Matthew chapter 11 and the other verses 19. Jesus to the philanthropist. He's the unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verses 15. Jesus to the philosopher. He's the wisdom of God. Luke chapter 11 and the verses 49. Jesus to the pilgrim. He's the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus, brother Snow, to the preacher, man. Jesus is the word of God. John chapter 1 and the verses 1. Jesus to the potter. He's the maker of vessels of honor. All of y'all are being made by the potter right now. You're being made in the vessels of honor. He's the potter. We just the clay. Let him mold you and make you after his will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Jesus to the sculpture. He's the living stone. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 4. Jesus to the servant. He's our Lord. Am I right about it? Matthew chapter 10 and the verses 25. Jesus to the Son of Man. He's the Lamb of God. John chapter 1 and the verses 29. Jesus to the sheep. He's the good shepherd. John chapter 10 and the verses 11. Jesus to the student, you young students. He's the truth. He's the truth. Don't you ever forget that Jesus is the truth. Loved ones, John chapter 14 and the verses 6 to the theologian. Jesus is the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and the verses 2 to the thirsty. Jesus is the water of life. Revelation chapter 21 and the verses 6. Jesus to the world. He's the Savior. John chapter 3 and the verses 17. Come on, if you got a need today, we're just going to ask you to sing this song. Just stand up where you're at, and we'll take care of you from there. Whatever your need is, someone's going to talk to you. You just stand up, and the rest of us are going to sit down. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit down right here. Okay, brother. 673.